Hi, I'm Dr. Caroline Leaf, and welcome to my podcast, Cleaning Up the Mental Mess. Sue Ellen Mancini knew something was wrong. She began dealing with mental health challenges as early as age 14, and by her 20s, things were just getting worse. So she sought help. Amid a culture where discussing mental health issues in the open remained very uncommon. This began her journey towards better mental health and also spreading positive mental health messages about mental health awareness. And this is a path that has been paved with lots of ice cream. Sue Ellen literally turned a mental health journey into ice cream joy. And today she joins me on the show to tell me how she did this. Sue Ellen, I'm so excited to have you on my podcast today. This is going to be an inspiration. My producer brought your LA Times article to me and she said, you've got to get this lady on the show. And you talk in this article about how you were diagnosed with a mental health issue and how you basically now turn that into making ice cream. I mean, that's a really simple explanation, and you have a beautiful story, and welcome. And I'd love my listeners to hear your story.
Well, thank you so much for having me on your show.
Well, you have a beautiful story. So I'd love you to start at the beginning and just tell my listeners how you've landed up making ice cream and how you're now a mental health advocate and helping so many people.
I actually started doing pastry when I was 18. I got a job at a bakery and just continued working from bakery to bakery from there. I've always had a really big passion for pastry and baking since I was a teenager. I guess around the age of 14 or 15, I did start having a lot of depressive symptoms, but like in the article, I honestly thought I was just like an angsty teen. And at the time I wanted to, distract myself after school other than like, you know, end up drinking at a young age or doing drugs. And became obsessed with the Food Network.
I love it.
And so, from watching TV, I really wanted to pursue baking and just started saving all of my lunch money so that I could go to the bookstore after school and look up recipes and buy stuff at the store and start practicing like making cookies and brownies and all kinds of stuff at home. And then when I graduated high school, I unfortunately wasn't able to get financial aid to go to college because my mother was undocumented for a very long time. And so I just started working, and I remembered how much I loved baking and got into that, you know, field. And then fast forward, I was still dealing with a lot of those symptoms. A lot of like, even well into my 20s was still like committing a lot of self-harm and just, yeah, a lot of those symptoms had not gone away with like me being out of my teen years. And it took me a while to get to the point where I was like, okay, I definitely need to like seek professional help for this. It's definitely, you know, affecting not only my work life, but my intimate relationships with people, you know, even just like trying to have a partner, and having these like episodes and stuff. I just knew that I wasn't going to get ahead in life if I didn't finally face what was going on. And so then around 26 was when I finally decided to see a psychiatrist, and they diagnosed me with bipolar disorder type 2. And even though it sounded really scary at first to get that kind of diagnosis, it honestly was also a relief because I finally had something that I could begin like looking into and understanding and like, yeah, and begin like treating what everything that I had been dealing with, and it all finally made sense, you know, because I guess mental health was something that we did not talk about at all growing up, to the point that like in my own ignorance, I just like, you know, at some point in my 20s, I just started thinking that I was like a bad person, you know? Yeah. And just was like, oh, you know, bad people exist and bad people probably act the way that I act, you know?
Oh, that's so sad.
And Anyway, so it was definitely a relief to be like, oh, I'm not a bad person. I've just like been dealing with something for a while that I was completely unaware of. And so around that age was when I started also doing ice cream and really fell in love with making ice cream. And I actually moved to LA to open up my own company. And while the lockdown happened during the pandemic, mm-hmm. I saw a lot of people like suffering with grief and depression, being in their homes. You know, all of us were like dealing with so many emotions.
Yeah.
I mean, the pandemic was like something so big that affected the whole world. Everyone was collectively grieving.
Yeah.
And around that time when I launched my company, I don't know, I guess it just made sense to me that like a lot of people eat ice cream when they're sad to cope with their feelings, or at least I did like growing up and now. And so anyway, I just wanted to be able to find a way to give back to people and have it be more than just an ice cream company. Mm. And that's when I decided to link the two and have it be like, hey, we can, you know, talk about our sad feelings together while we're eating ice cream.
I love it. It's so inspiring. It's beautiful. I mean, it's really very appealing because you're right. You know, they grab every movie you see where someone's sad, they're grabbing a tub of ice cream while they, you know, sat crying over the breakup or something like that. But it's, I mean, who doesn't love ice cream? Even, you know, even my two little dogs, I'm sure your dog that's in the background, they also loves ice cream. So have you made a doggy ice cream? Have you made a doggy ice cream in your, have you got a doggy ice cream that they can eat?
No, just a side note. I have made it at other stores before with like chicken broth and stuff. Yeah.
Hey, listen, I need some ice cream for my dogs. So we need you to make an ice cream for our dogs when they sad.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. I love yours. I love the story. I think it's just really beautiful. Mon podcast vous plaît? Thanks to Babbel, I know what that means. Do you? Recently, I've been relearning how to speak French with Babbel, and you can too, because with Babbel, you can start speaking new languages in just 3 weeks. Why Babbel? Because it works. Instead of paying hundreds of dollars for a private tutor or fooling yourself with language apps that are little more than games, Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 150 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. I really love how convenient Babbel's courses are. They have helped me learn real-life conversation skills. It's so easy to pick up on how to order food, ask for directions, and speak to merchants without having to consult language apps while on vacation, or look on helplessly knowing that you can't communicate. Using their unique voice recognition technology, not only am I relearning to speak French, but also pronounce the words correctly as well. Babbel is truly different from other language programs. Their courses are designed by real people for real conversations, and all their tips and tools for learning a new language are approachable, accessible, rooted in real life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching. So if you want to learn a new language, try Babbel today. Here's a special limited time deal for my listeners to get you started right now. Get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for my listeners, at babbel.com/leaf. Get up to 55% off at babbel.com/leaf, spelled BABBEL.com/leaf. Rules and restrictions may apply. The link and details will be in the show notes. I want to ask you this. When you were at that point where you were realizing in your 20s, well, as you said, you first thought it was teenager angst, and then you realized this is not going away. You know, you were facing a choice once you had that diagnosis as well, which is kind of overwhelming and scary, but almost like giving you a sense of peace as well. But there's a choice that you face to sort of give in and think, okay, well, this is who I am and there's nothing I can do about it, or to move forward. So you obviously made a choice because you've landed up turning this into something constructive to help people. And you're pretty much now an advocate for helping people to explore their feelings and really deal with their stuff and not be scared to talk about mental health. So that process was obviously not an overnight process. What was that like? How did you get to the, it obviously wasn't an overnight, this decision I've decided right now I'm going to change and I'm going to take this diagnosis and I'm going, what was that process of taking that awareness of how you saw yourself now and what you'd been through and turning it into this business? How did that look?
You mean like, how was I able to incorporate that into the the company?
No, yeah, that but your journey, because you obviously now you had a company, but what was the process from receiving the diagnosis and recognizing you're battling to getting to the point where you turned that into something that has changed your life and has changed other people's lives? That wasn't an overnight decision. There would have been a process involved. What was that process you went through? Self-discovery? What was it? To help listeners, because there's a lot of people that will be listening to this podcast that are potentially in that same position that you were, and that in a deep, dark place and thinking, well, what hope is there? What can I do? What can I do with my life? How can I turn this diagnosis? How can I turn this feeling that I have, the sadness into something that gives me hope to keep living? What did you do as you did you face that choice? And, what did you do and how did you get from the beautiful ending where the beginning of the other side where you're at the moment? How did you get from one point to the next?
So after I had spoken with my psychiatrist, they did put me on medication. And at first it was really scary because there's so much stigma behind taking medication. And, I think a lot of people, when they start taking medication for their own mental health, have this fear of what if it changes me and I'm not the person I am anymore? Or I lose a part of myself. And whenever I got to that point, I did reach out to other friends who I knew had been dealing with the same issues or were also bipolar, and asked them how they felt being on their medication and what kind of change they saw in themselves. And honestly, they kind of gave me advice that made me feel more comfortable about it, which was, that yourself changing is not necessarily a bad thing. would you rather be a healthier, happier version of yourself or continue feeling how you're feeling now? That is the change. And of course, it's a trial and error kind of thing, and that can be scary too, but it's definitely worth, I feel like, the risk, because I do feel a lot better. And looking back on how I used to feel when I was off of medication was it was like someone had taken a veil off my eyes and I wasn't living in a cloud anymore, and was finally grounded and felt like I was living life with other people, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. And that's great. What about things like doing therapy? Because I know that one of the comments that you make is that therapy, we were brought up, there's a comment that I'm actually going to read from the LA article, LA Times article. We were brought up to think that therapy is for white people complaining about their problems. You don't need that. You're strong. I think sometimes when you grow up in an immigrant family that came from hardship, everyone's just stuck in survival mode. Can you talk around that and how that played a role in you moving towards getting the decision of starting a business? It's a big deal being a business owner. And, that's like going from feeling very sad and up and down in your moods and that kind of thing. There's a lot of your mind and your mental drive that and your mental skills that came into play. So I'd love to know, the sort of role that maybe therapy played or talking to friends or how you actually chose to move forward. What were those? What did that look like?
Shortly after that, I did start therapy here in LA when I moved through the LGBT center. They helped me with sliding scale counseling. And then my therapist actually ended up completing their hours and moving to another practice. And now they've been my therapist for almost 4 years now. Which wonderful. Is crazy to think, because now I'm they've literally have heard my entire journey.
That's amazing.
I think through therapy mostly was where I learned a lot of coping skills and a lot of self-reflection as far as what I had been feeling, how you can, begin to be more mindful of the symptoms before they arrive and start to take hold stronger. It is very important to catch those symptoms in the beginning so that you don't end up spiraling. And I think that's a lot of that information that I was learning in therapy was what I started realizing is information that I could be sharing on Sad Girls platform. Because I do know a lot of people from my own communities, like the Latin community, mm-hmm. who might, you know, be hesitant about seeking help, or might not even be able to afford to get that kind of help, because exactly. there are limited resources, even though there are a lot of nonprofits now that are working to change that.
Yeah.
I just wanted that information to be readily available for people to read and try to understand on their own. And so that kind of kept me going for sure, was like, you know, if these things had existed when I was younger and there was people out there like me talking about it, I might have felt more comfortable about seeking help for myself.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
That's such a good point that you raise. In fact, I've just released a book called How to Help Your Child Clean Up Their Mental Mess and Manage Their Mental Health and Resilience. And it's basically helping parents to help children to be able to develop the mental skills, to be able to talk about what they're exposed to that makes them vulnerable and feel overwhelmed and all these emotions. And what do you do with them? And you're not bad. And there's nothing, you don't have to pathologize and medicalize misery in childhood, but to have the skills to be able to know how to talk about them, because it's missing. It's not spoken about enough, and that's always been a concern. So, and you actually basically have just said, you know, exactly that you didn't, there wasn't someone around to help you process how to do it. How do you process in your community to be able to process what you were going through and so on. So with doing the work in therapy and doing just, you're not with your therapist 24/7. You also were with yourself. You took those skills and you changed how you functioned as a person, and you started making choices to move forward. Were there times where you felt challenged, that you just couldn't do this, that you felt hopeless, that you just, it's hard? Did you feel times like that?
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm not 100% better.
It's a lifelong journey, isn't it? It's a lifelong journey.
Yeah. So I definitely still have ups and downs. I definitely do still like have episodes and have to deal with them. Or like a couple of years ago, I was hospitalized again. And it is a difficult thing to, you know, be conscious of what's going on with you in the moment and being able to pull yourself that. You know, I think it's harder than most people realize. Like once mm-hmm. you're in it. It is incredibly difficult to see outside of your own feelings because you're so consumed by them. So I definitely still have, you know, moments of weakness like that. Although I wouldn't call them moments of weakness.
No, it's not. It's moments of growth. It's moments of growth. Yeah. Moments of growth where things can be very dark. Did you in the process, are you finding getting to sort of the root causes and the sort of where get working through to maybe find the sources of where your challenges grew from? Because every single human battles. So it's not like anyone's isolating a single person. Everyone battles. If you're human and alive, life affects us and in different ways. Mm-hmm. And have you started finding the source, and in knowing those, is that helping you to move forward?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I definitely have begun doing some like inner child work with
That's
my
great.
And understanding what my triggers are, as far as like, you know, like you have something that triggered you, but the more important question is obviously like, why did it trigger you? Where is that coming from? And how can you approach the feeling of why it triggered you and like, you know, like change it around for yourself and realize like, just because it reminds you of something in the past and it feels like it's happening right now, doesn't mean that it is necessarily, you know? even though you should validate those emotions for sure when they're happening. But I think a big learning lesson for me was understanding that just because you're feeling it doesn't necessarily make it true. You know,
you got to be curious about them. You got to ask questions. Yeah. What does it really mean? Where's it coming from?
Yeah. So that was like a big turning point for me in like growing and understanding why these things are affecting me the way they are, and why is it causing me to spiral.
I'm sure we all are. As I said, it's a lifelong, it's a life skill. And that's the whole thing. This is part of life. It's not like a bunch of symptoms to be eliminated. Mm-hmm. You know, what's happened to you, your story is never going to go away. It's how you reconceptualize and deal with your story so that it changes how it plays out into your future. And, you know, this is the process that you're going through. You know, you're reconceptualizing your life and you're changing how it's playing out into your future with the things that you, with the things that you're doing and starting the Sad Girl Creamery. And now you being a business owner now, let's talk about being a business owner. There's challenges, all kinds of challenges. How do you deal with those? Does in terms of just managing challenges that can maybe throw you off, or what do you do? How do you manage if a challenge comes up in your business?
Well, I have a lot of lists that I
Great.
Do. Yeah. I definitely have a lot of coping mechanisms that deal with making lists of like for example, sometimes I will run into feelings where I start to feel like unaccomplished or like this isn't going anywhere. And I do have to remind myself to sit down and make list of like, well, what are the smaller things you have accomplished to get where you are? And I mean, it doesn't even have to be anything that extravagant, you know. Definitely you should start small. And there is something powerful about like journaling and being able to see it as, you know, like a long list of like, oh, these are all the things that you've accomplished by keep going and stuff like that. And so that definitely.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. It's just like reminding myself of, hey, just because you feel like you're not doing anything right now or things aren't going the way that you would wish they would, doesn't mean that you haven't done a lot.
Exactly. That's beautiful. I love that. So it's you learning to self-regulate and do a lot of self-talk and be curious about, not instead of getting consumed by that and going into a negative spiral, you're catching it and you're actually reflecting and being curious and using the list to guide yourself. I think that's beautiful. That's a really great tip for people to make lists of where you want to go. And that, I'm sure that's taken a lot of time to practice and get into that. Or have you always been a list maker? Has this been something that you always do?
No, I mean, I've been a list maker in the sense of like tasks that I need to accomplish.
Yeah.
But I've never been a list maker of like definitely writing things about my past and things that I've already done and reflecting on that. Definitely a lot of my coping deals with reflecting on. Yeah. Just knowing that you're a person who has done things and even, you know, even if it's outside of work, like certain things can be like, oh, I've improved my relationship with my partner, or I've learned to open up to my mother more. Like those are accomplishments as well.
It's beautiful. So you've learned to be, from what I'm hearing you say, less hard on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Was that something that was, because you said at one point in this interview that you thought you were just a bad person until you realized that you're not a bad person. And that's a massive shift. And so in that, you were obviously very hard on yourself and maybe self-critical. How's that changed? And is that still something that's hard that tries to rear its head? And if it does, what do you do?
Yeah, I mean, that definitely still comes up sometimes, especially if I'm having like a really bad episode and I act out in a very ugly way that can be harmful to others, like emotionally. There is a lot of guilt once you come to realizing what you might have done or that you have done. And so I think one of the biggest things I've learned through therapy and understanding this like mental health
journey.
Yeah.
Say journey. I think it's more, it's kinder to ourselves to say journey.
Yeah. So the biggest thing I've learned is like to forgive myself.
That's honestly beautiful.
Yeah. To forgive myself and give myself some patience. Because if you don't, then yeah, you will start to like self-deprecate and think bad things about yourself because you're not giving yourself that space for forgiveness and understanding. You know, you're a person who you deserve to be forgiven and you deserve to, you know, see that this is something that you have to overcome and work on. And obviously, like with that guilt, you are going to apologize to others and all of that, but it's an ongoing thing. A lot of learning to forgive myself.
I love summertime. The outdoor concerts and festivals, family vacations, pool parties, and more. There's always so much to do this time of the year. But summer is the season of spending, and you can do it right with Chime's online checking account. Chime's online checking account has tons of benefits that millions of members love, like fee-free overdraft of up to $200, plus get paid up to 2 days early with direct deposit, all while managing your money on the go 24/7. That means more time and money for beach trips and summer Friday splurges. Plus, with Chime, you can get paid up to 2 days earlier with a qualifying direct deposit. They also have a fee-free overdraft with SpotMe when you set up a qualifying direct deposit. I especially love the fact that Chime has no monthly minimum balance or overdraft fees, and you can access 60,000 plus fee-free ATMs. That's more than the top three national banks combined. Sign up for Chime today and make the summer the best one yet for yourself and your wallet. Get started at chime.com/Dr. Leaf. That's chime.com/Dr. Leaf. The link and details will be in the show notes. Chime is a financial technology company, not a bank. Banking services and debit card provided by the Bancorp NA or Stride Bank NA. Members FDIC. Eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Access to direct deposits up to 2 days early depends on the timing of the submission of the payment file from the payer. Out-of-network ATM withdrawal fees may apply. I love that. I think that's really key because we can be so hard on ourselves that it's that self-hatred will just pour out on other people and pour out in all kinds of ways that are destructive. And then it kind of almost feeds back like a feedback loop thinking, you see, I deserve it because I'm such a bad person or whatever. That. So it sounds like to me like you breaking that cycle and getting it under control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Definitely practicing a lot of mindfulness around that.
That's amazing. So if someone had to come to you and say they're really battling with that, what would your advice be to them? If someone said, I'm stuck in such a place, I hate myself, it's coming out in every way, I just don't want to live. Or if someone came to you and said something like that, what would you tell them? Because you've been in that place, you've been in that dark place where it just feels like everything's terrible and you just want to give up.
I mean, I would tell them you have to be patient with yourself. You can't it's very easy to just accept that and go into a bad place. But when you see yourself as like if you saw a friend going through the same thing, you would want them to, you know, be patient with themselves as well. You are only human. Like, we all, I don't know how to explain it.
You're doing really well. We all fall and just got to give ourselves time. So the patience, yeah. The time, the forgiveness are key factors.
Yeah. And that these feelings aren't forever, you know, we're going to reach those places sometimes and feel that mm-hmm. way, but it's
and
not
it's okay.
Like lasting. Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. It will pass.
No, that's really great advice. It's, you know, this podcast is called Cleaning Up the Mental Mess. So this is, and one of the things that I say to everyone, which is being in this field now for 40 years, is it's okay to be a mess. And that's something that we need to give ourselves permission to be a mess, because life is challenging and the whole thing is not to stay there, but to manage that mess. So I hear you saying that by saying, okay, I'm in a messy place, but I'm going to forgive myself. I'm going to give myself time. It's okay. I'll get there. It's not how I was. And it's that giving yourself that space to grow, which I think is beautiful. And I think you said that beautifully. So let's get away from some of the heavy stuff and let's get to a couple of fun questions. Why ice cream And I know that because you're a pastry chef and you gave us a little bit of an answer to this in the beginning. And then your flavors, because your flavors are just phenomenal. All the different flavors that you started with a few and you've got all these amazing. How do you choose flavors? How do you get into what inspires you to think of all these great different flavors? And, you know, why have you focused so heavily on ice cream? And this is just beautiful, fun, a beautiful, fun question.
Well, ice cream, I became very obsessed with the chemistry of making ice cream.
Oh, I love that.
A big chemistry nerd in school. And I do feel like ice cream is a very good blank slate to flavor in any way that you want. And I'm just obsessed with the nostalgia of eating ice cream. I think it's such like a playful, childish food. You know, everyone's first ice cream is when they're a child. And I don't think anyone's had like a bad memory of eating ice cream.
No.
Yeah. Anyway, and so, you know, a lot of those good feelings of that nostalgia definitely drew me towards ice cream. And then as far as the flavors go, to speak on that nostalgia, I wanted to create flavors that represent a lot of the desserts that I grew up with and remind me of my loved ones and my family and, you know, my friends as well, who are also Latin American. And because there is like a lot of, what is it? Like a lot of soft, tender feelings when it comes to eating things that remind you of your childhood and remind you of loved ones who have fed you because they care about you and want you to feel comforted. And so, yeah, a lot of the inspiration from the flavors are inspired by those desserts and sweets that were given to me as a kid, or desserts that my friends have introduced me to that remind them of their own experiences of like growing up and enjoying this food.
I love it. You've taken nostalgia, you've taken chemistry, and you've taken friendship and community, and you've created a whole beautiful way of expressing yourself and helping people in the process. Last question around this, because I want to respect your time, is in the Latin American community, the whole therapy, it's in many cultures, not talking about, have you managed to have a positive influence on encouraging people in your community to get into therapy, and or just to they not necessarily talk about get into therapy, but just talk more about it's okay to be a mess and, you know, let's get through this together. Are you doing that sort of thing? Are you finding you're having an impact like that in your community?
You know, the type of ice cream flavors that I'm doing have definitely caught the attention of my community, because a lot of Latin desserts are very universal across several different countries in South America or Central America.
Yeah.
So I know a lot of people related to that. And so I reel them in with the ice cream. And then on my social media is when I hit them hard with the mental health stuff. And I think being so vulnerable and open about it all has definitely encouraged other people to tell me about their own experiences, not only through the comments, but I get a lot of people messaging me telling me, oh, I've had the same thing happen to me, or I also have bipolar disorder, and talking to my mother about it has been very difficult, et cetera, et cetera. So I am realizing it is having an impact on my own community, and it is, I don't know, it definitely makes me feel really good that they like feel comfortable enough to approach me to talk about it and share their stories with me, and vice versa.
That's beautiful that you've opened a whole new way of connecting. Do people come into your shop and talk to you and say, hey, your story and this, and in person, or is it mainly on social media that they share their stories?
So we don't have a shop yet. We are just still like a pop-up in wholesaling, but people do come to my pop-up and
I love it.
Open up to me and they're like, I've been following you for a while, and the things that you have said about et cetera, that might have influenced them in any way. There are a lot of conversations that happen.
That's so important, because I think the biggest thing with mental health is people want to be heard. They want to listen. And we want to talk, when we tell our stories and get the stories out, that's when we can start getting some level of empowerment to be able to, you know, reconceptualize them, so that we can get to the point of managing the messiness. And it's community that really does help, and you've created that. So well done for what you've done. I love it. It's amazing. I can't wait to taste your ice cream. The next time I'm in LA, I'm going to make sure that I come to taste your ice cream. Where can people get hold of you and find out more about you?
So most of our outreach does happen on Instagram. You can follow me at Sad Girl Creamery, all one word. And then you can also find me on my website, which is also sadgirlcreamery.com. Right there, we post like where you can find us or our flavors. I also have a whole page dedicated to just mental health resources in Los Angeles. If anyone is looking for low cost or even free resources for themselves.
That's amazing. Well, thank you for what you do and for sharing your story. And it's been so lovely talking to you. And I cannot wait to taste your ice cream and keep doing what you're doing, because you're not only bringing joy to people, but you're also helping people with something so important, which, you know, with a messy mind, your life becomes such a mess. And whereas if you could learn to accept that messiness and manage it, we can really start changing our lives, and you evidence of that. So you're touching many people's lives, and I hope it keeps growing and growing, and you keep touching more and more people's lives. So thanks for joining me today.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate hearing all of that. And thank you for letting me, you know, tell my little journey on your show.
Of course. It's a pleasure. And it's really been great hearing you. It's such an inspiration, and I've really enjoyed it. So thank you.
Thank you.